Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Show me your way, my love, my Lord. Draw me to grace, so strong and sure. I run to your mercy, where I am free. Let me find my
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome again to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We call it the Bethany Hour, but it's a half hour.
It's a half hour. 30 minutes of fun.
30 minutes of music. Yeah, and I'm glad you're listening and you're all relaxed and ready to hear God's word. And I really am grateful because so many of you people have expressed to Pastor Tim and I that they listen. You listen to this program before you go to your own church.
Yeah.
You say you love to listen to the program as you're getting ready to go to your church. And we're just thrilled that you can have that opportunity.
It's exciting for us to know that the efforts that we put in, and we've been doing this for years. It's a long time.
And you're listening.
And you're still listening. And what a joy it is to know that it's a blessing to you on Sunday mornings or whenever. I know there's other stations that play it at different times, but it is exciting to know that it is a blessing to you.
So if you've been following along, you know, we're talking about Stephen, who is a deacon full of the Holy Spirit, and he is speaking with words of wisdom that are being attacked by lies that the people are saying against him. And in verse number 15, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen. So the Supreme Court, they're all looking down at Stephen intently. I like that word, intently.
That's
I wonder what that actually means. Did they put their glasses on?
I'm telling you.
I don't know what's going on here when they were looking at him.
They were staring him down.
They had
fire in their eyes. There was laser beams looking at him because they had just produced these false witnesses that said, you know, he's talking about this Jesus of Nazareth guy, and he's talking about Moses, and we got him. We got him, guys. So let's see what he has to say now.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty interesting because the Sanhedrin, probably like the Supreme Court, have heard many, many testimonies.
Yep.
They have heard many, many, many different accusations, and they have a tendency to read people, to look at them, to see how their eyes are looking at him. Is he looking down? Is he downcast and everything? I mean, is he looking like he's defeated?
Yeah.
Does it look like he's destroyed? And what happens is, it says, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
I love that verse. I really love that verse. Because you think about somebody when they're in court.
Oh, my goodness. Fearful.
Fearful. I mean, at least the guilty people. I'm sure their attorneys are saying, okay, now keep your composure.
Act right.
Act, you know, don't give it away. Just sit there. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your eyes from, you know. And I'm sure that they are coached. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit.
There's the key.
He's resting. He's heard what they've had to say. And I'm sure in his mind and in his heart, he's saying, okay, God, you better give me the words because, you know, I'm on display here right now. So God help me.
But it's interesting because it says they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So they actually looked. And I wonder what they were thinking because obviously they had seen many people who were evil, who were actually guilty. But now they see this face like an angel, and they're supposed to represent the angels.
You know, and I mean, that was their deal.
That was their deal.
They were the spokesman for God.
They were.
They were the teachers of the law.
Exactly.
They were the writers of the law. They were experts in the law. So they knew the law. They knew all this stuff. And here's this person, and they're looking at him, and they're probably figuring, we got him shaking in his shoes.
Right.
And as they were looking intently at him,
they're angel. Amazed.
Angel.
How could they think anything else?
Oh, man.
So then the high priest asked him, because now they recognize, okay, there's something that's different. So they're going to ask him. They heard from the people who brought false witness. So they're going to ask him, are these charges true? See, well, and that's a good question, actually.
Yeah.
Because they may have thought, when they saw his face, that every charge that was made was false.
Right.
Because they recognized it wasn't bothering him. These things were not true as far as he was concerned. So they say, are these charges true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. Now he's going to preach.
You know, he could have just said no.
Yes, he could have said, they're not. No, you're right. They're not. Yeah. They're not true. No.
Or he could have said, kind of. You know, from your perspective, maybe, but no.
No.
Yeah, no, not true. But he didn't. I mean, they opened the door, and so maybe in this culture, you have a chance to represent yourself and to defend your case, and so now he's going to defend his case, and it's one of the most glorious defenses
it is
ever recorded in legal history, in my estimation.
And he goes on, and he says, listen to me.
Yeah.
The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. So he goes all the way back to Abraham.
He's going to Genesis.
He's going all the way back. He's going back and saying, now look it. Abraham, he didn't even know God.
Right.
And yet God spoke to him.
Yeah.
So maybe God can speak to you.
Yeah.
He's laying it down.
That's
good. He's giving it to him here. He says, leave your country and your people. In other words, God said, go to the land, I'll show you. In other words, I'm going to change things. I'm going to change your life. Look, God may want to do the same thing for you.
Yeah.
He's getting him. He's setting him up. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and he settled in Haran. And after the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. So I wonder what they're thinking now, because he is giving them a history lesson.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be the historians.
And they know this stuff.
Oh, they should be really up on this stuff.
You know, this is incredible that the Holy Spirit leads his conversation all the way back to something that they're very proud of. We are Abraham's children. We are the descendants of Abraham, and Abraham this, and Abraham that, and Moses this, and Moses that. Well, Stephen is going to remind them what Moses really stands for and all the other things that we're going to talk about here. But it is incredible that the Holy Spirit really encapsulates the Old Testament with the story of Jesus.
But to me, what's really exciting about this is because I think America has lost its history.
Yeah.
And so they may have understood the history, but they may have forgotten that it was God who said to them, we're going to make these changes.
There you go.
God's going to make these changes. God's going to send you to a different place. God's going to lead you and guide you. Just like I'm trying to help you.
Right.
I'm trying to lead you what God's doing. But see, he's helping to understand that all this happened, you know the history, but it was all God.
Right.
So he left the land of the Chaldeans. He settled in Haran. And after the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground, but God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. This is an amazing statement of faith.
Yeah.
This is expressing the kind of faith that Abraham was moving in, hoping perhaps maybe these Sanhedrin would listen and understand that they need to accept faith.
You know, there's an incredible story right here in this, like you said, that is all based on faith. Abraham had no children. His wife was barren.
Nothing.
She couldn't have children. They didn't have any land there. And so he's walking on this foreign territory, and God says, wherever you place your foot, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants.
All faith.
Everything is based on faith. And, like, you know, the connection to Jesus, it's all based on faith.
Everything is on faith.
But like you said, God is doing and stirring something here, and maybe we become resistant to God's change or to stepping out in faith. Maybe we like everything to be real for us. I can touch that or feel that. You know, I can reason this out. But let me tell you, life, a lot of life is based on faith, and that's where Stephen's taking
it. It is. And your whole idea in America is we've forgotten the past. We've forgotten how America was really founded on faith, where people were going to come and they're going to create a nation that was under God, that was living by faith.
Yeah.
And so God spoke to him in this way. Now, I like that. God spoke to him in this way. And he's getting ready. He says, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. I mean, that's not a happy word to give. That's a prophetic word that's really difficult.
Yeah. Ouch.
He says, this is going to hurt a little bit.
So here's the deal. You know, Abraham, you're not going to get any of this.
By
the way, your descendants,
so
400 years in slavery.
Oh, my goodness.
What a joyful thought.
But I will punish the nations they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.
Yeah.
He's talking about Egypt. He's talking about what's going to happen to them.
Egypt and enslaved them.
He's talking about it. He's giving them a history lesson. Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. Now, that was something that was completely different. As a matter of fact, Paul has to address this because people thought that the Gentiles had to be circumcised to become really Christians. And he's saying, no, this is a circumcision of the heart. Right. But because the covenant of circumcision was something that God made. I don't know why he did that. I haven't figured that out. There's probably something that's interesting about that.
Yeah.
But that whole covenant of circumcision, 8 days, the whole thing is it's kind of bloody. It's kind of a lot of things it does.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all. I've done some study from it. I think I've forgotten most of what I've learned.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting concept, that whole concept here, that this is part of the covenant.
Yeah. I mean, it separated the people, you know, from
totally
the rest
separated
of the world.
Completely.
So I think it was God's chosen people going to God's assigned land.
Yep.
You know, at least, I mean, just kind of thinking about it there, for a specific purpose.
It's for a specific purpose.
Yeah, so.
And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth.
There you go.
Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles and gave Joseph wisdom, enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt. I wonder if the guys are sitting up there going, hey, we know this stuff.
Yeah.
This is a rerun.
Yeah.
I know.
See, this is nothing's new.
This is a rerun. Why don't you get on with it, right. Buddy? Get on with it. What are you telling? You're not telling us anything new?
They were probably squirming a little bit, going, does he know who he's talking to? Does he realize where the interpreters and teachers of the law? Does he really get this? Like, we don't know that.
No. Or maybe they're thinking, well, he really he's really a Jewish person. Look at, he knows our history. He knows about us.
Yeah.
Then famine struck all of Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering to our fathers. Could not find food. When Jacob heard of this, that it was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent his father, Jacob, the whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and his fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in a tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor and the Shechem, and for a certain sum of money. I mean, that is detailed stuff.
I mean, serious stuff. Now, it's interesting. 75 people went down, right? So he's just relaying the story. And once again, the whole thing with Abraham, the promise to Abraham is, Abraham, your seed is going to bless all nations.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about that, but he's setting him up. He's setting him up.
Now, here's the promise.
Here it is. Okay.
And Jesus is going to be the promise eventually, but here's the promise. As time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt, and he dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die.
Yeah.
At that time, Moses was born. And he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his father's house, And then he was placed outside. Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. I mean, so here, I like the picture here, because here is Moses, and he is being brought up in a kingly family.
Yeah.
He's brought up as a kingly family, and he's going to become a great deliverer, but he's in this kingly family. He's not an ordinary child.
No.
And he brought up, and Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and powerful in speech and action. Speech and action.
This is an incredible story of once again, how God just orchestrated everything for his plans and purposes to fulfill his promise to Abraham. It all comes back to Abraham. He keeps pointing back to Abraham. So. And
I'm wondering if there's a timetable that he has, that the Sanhedrin has to listen to him for so long. Because they're not stopping him.
They're
so
not
far.
Stopping him.
They're letting him talk.
Yeah.
And when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites, and he saw one of them being mistreated as an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. And this is almost like people didn't recognize Jesus.
Yeah,
I mean, he's telling this story like, I understand the history. You just guys don't understand that God has always been trying to get to you, always trying to work with you.
Yeah.
And you're just not understanding it.
Stubborn, stiff-necked people.
Stiff-necked
people. I mean, come on. What do we have to do?
I mean, it's just amazing. So the next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting, and he tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?
Uh-oh.
Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?
You know what? Good news travels fast, buddy. Yeah, yeah. Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when Moses heard this, he fled to the Midian, where he settled as a foreigner, and he had two sons. I mean, that's amazing to me, like you say, that immediately he's trying to help, and what do they throw in his face?
Yeah.
You know, he's really trying. You killed an Egyptian yesterday. You're a murderer. How can you help us? You killed him.
That was a tough moment for Moses, I'm sure. You know, for 40 years, he was raised in, in the Pharaoh's house, and then he made a choice on his own. It's not like God told him to kill the Egyptian when he did that. He was just trying to protect.
Trying to work, yes.
The Israelites, but then it backfired on him. And so for 40 years, he had to flee because he was, he was guilty of murder. And so 40 years, he was gone to the desert of Midian.
Yeah, and after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And when he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. And as he went over and he looked more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear. He didn't dare to look.
Wow.
There is a great need in America to understand an awe and a fear of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the turning point in his life.
Yeah. To realize who God is, what he can do, and how much passion he has for people. But understand that even though he is a God of love, he's a God of justice as well.
And I'm wondering when I read this, if Stephen doesn't recognize that he's speaking to the Sanhedrin and telling them, you may not recognize what God is doing, just like Moses.
Yeah.
You don't understand it. You don't really understand our history. You don't know what God was doing this whole time as he was going to redeem his people. Now he's coming to redeem his people in Jesus, and there's no fear at all in your life.
You know, 40 years he was out there, and who knows what had happened, and then all of a sudden he sees and hears God, and God comes on the scene, and was he ready for that?
Hey, this is an interesting story. We're going to pick it up in the next time we talk. And I hope that you understand that God loves you so much that he would take your place. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.